Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over! 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
All right, we are back with Thompson Clark. We are talking about all of the bad things that have happened in San Francisco Giants baseball.
so many bad things.
You know, actually, because we understand everybody's pain. Now, there's going to be people who just like, they enjoy self-harm, and they will watch the rest of these games. They will, because that's how dialed in.
Are we calling it self-harm? Is that what we're calling it?
I guess what would it be called when you like are just constantly punishing yourself?
You're a masochist. That's
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
That's the word for it. There you go.
Yeah.
But there are others who may not want to watch some of these games. And if you watch this week and you said, you know what, I'm fed up, I completely understand, because they had one game where they scored 13 runs and they struggled to even plate any players across the plate in all of the other games, essentially. And how many times did they get shut out? Like, it was bad. So we're going to kick off this show. And yes, for Haruku, he in case he could not make it to the live feed, he left us with some comments already about his frustration with Buster Posey, which we will get to in our second segment. We decided, hey, you know, if you're so dialed into Giants baseball and then you got frustrated, and you know, what are some things to do instead of watch these games? The Giants have an upcoming tough sort of end of the season here. I think we have Baltimore this week, right?
Yeah, going to Baltimore tomorrow, Tuesday. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So black and orange versus black and orange, playoff team versus not playoff team.
And then get the Royals in Kansas City, which is kind of funny because I'm listening to the Jeff Pearlman Bo Jackson biography on audiobook. And so I'm listening to lots of late 80s Kansas City Royals talk.
What's the name of that one?
Actually, let's see.
That's not the Bo Knows Bo book, right?
There was a 30 for 30 documentary, maybe 10 years ago.
Okay.
I think that had that name. And this one is called The Last Folk Hero. Myth, the life and myth of Bo Jackson.
I just looked it up. I have the Bo Knows Bo book, which was Bo Jackson and Dick Schaap.
Oh, wow.
Back in the day. And I'm talking back in the day, like big time back in the day. This was, let's see, when was it published? Had to be late or early 90s. 1990, October 1st, 1990. So
he was still a very young man in 1990.
He was, man. Yeah. It was the cover with the the shoulder pads from football and then the baseball bat.
Do you remember the score baseball card of that same photo?
I do. I had the one. It was from a game and it was not score, but it was green edged. And for a while it was worth like $200. And I looked at it. Probably like a year ago, and it was like, 5 cents or whatever.
All right. So we are going to give you diehard Giants fans who may be frustrated, so much so that Bob Melvin says that they're playing instructional league baseball right now. What can you do with this time? You've devoted 3 hours. Six times a week to Giants baseball. Yeah. What can you do instead? Well, I have one quick one.
Okay.
We have a feed of content here. We have the We Want Winners podcast. We have the death lineup, which is coming back. We have this podcast. We will get you through a week of baseball by just talking about it every Monday. So, because I don't think. I mean, I didn't watch a ton, but I don't think I missed anything. Like just sadness. I guess I missed sadness. But we're going to talk. We'll keep you updated about what happens during the week on this. So we have this feed. Oh, yeah. We have this podcast feed. We have a YouTube channel that has a video of all of our shows. You could literally just keep up with the team that way. Another thing that you could do, though, I don't know if this is necessarily on Brad's list after what happened this week, but football season is here, right?
You have football. It is.
The 49ers are 1-1. The Rams are 0-2. And the Rams had both teams had devastating injuries. It looks like Cooper Kupp's going to be out a little bit longer than Debo, but football is here. So other sports, the WNBA playoffs is going to start very soon. This is the last week of the WNBA season, which has kind of been a monumental season for the WNBA. And I guess before I turn it over to Brad, I'm watching Big Brother with my wife. If you're into reality television, Big Brother is kind of a fun one because it's three nights a week, which is kind of similar to the baseball schedule. Multiple times you're checking in every week. A few other things. What is on your list of things to do instead of watch Giants baseball right now?
Yeah, and you just kind of spurred me into a third because I had two, but now I kind of have a third. So number one is you and I both have MLB.TV. That's what we grab that every year at a very nice discounted price from a couple of different avenues that we go down. Legal. It's all legal. One thing that you can do instead of watching Giants baseball is you can have Giants baseball. Like, so you and I also have Hulu streaming live, right? Hulu live TV. So I'll put the Giants game on my phone and then I'll prop that up somewhere with no sound because, a lot of times I watch baseball with no sound anyways when I play music just because you know what's going on. You can see the game. You know exactly what's happening if you've watched baseball for years and years. But another thing to do then would be to pop on MLB.TV and you watch and see how the free agents are doing in crunch time. I like to watch Juan Soto, Willy Adames, Christian Walker. I like to see how those guys do down the stretch in crunch time. They're going to be free agents, Garrett Cole. They're going to be free agents next season.
Did you see the thing about Cole and not pitching to Devers? Did you see that whole thing?
Plunking. That was fantastic.
The next at bat, they talked about pitching to him. And then all of a sudden, Cole just put up the four fingers and was like, walk him. And that was not the plan. He was supposed to pitch to him and be somewhat aggressive with Devers, and I don't know if Cole just got cold feet or he was just like,
I wonder what
on first.
I wonder what Devers' numbers are against Garrett Cole.
See, he has hit the most home runs against Cole, but Cole has also struck him out like a ton of times as well. So it's not like he just dominates Cole. I just found so weird because this is the guy that you pay $300 million to get guys out like this, and in a kind of like a non-important situation, he was like, just no, I don't want to deal with this guy.
Yeah, we're good to send him to first. Well, then, okay, well, then you look at that and you go, hey, you come to the Giants, you don't have to face Devers, right? But then you have to face Shohei. You got to face Manny Machado. You got to face Fernando Tatis. You got to face Corbin Carroll and all those guys in Arizona. So maybe that's not a great pitch. But yeah, so I like to that's one thing I do is I like to watch those guys.
And that's kind of prep. Prep for next year too.
And playoff races too. There's a lot of good playoff races going on. The Tigers are climbing back in, the Twins are battling. I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, openness in the back end of the American League wild card. So those games are really important. Another thing I like to do, and I know you say other than watch the Giants lose, but no matter what, I got the game on.
Right? Yeah, we're still paying attention. Still sad when I see these scores and stuff. Yeah,
I have a record collection that's large, so I like to go through the records, see which ones need to be cleaned and categorized on Discogs. If anybody is on Discogs and they want to join up with me as a friend on Discogs, it's also Evans5150, which is my handle pretty much everywhere. But join up on there. You can see my collection. I'll see your collection is pretty dope. So I like to do that. And we've got a closet project going on right now where we're going to put 16 squares in the closet, and then I'm going to build some shelving above it. And this just opens it up where I could buy more records. I don't know if my wife, I think she knows that, but I think she likes the organization process.
Are you saying you would rather do chores than watch some of these games? That's like eating vegetables rather than
But those, to me, that's not chores. I am so, because I worked in a music store. I was a DJ at a radio station, KSJS. And so I like to go through the records and I like to categorize. And especially the Jazz ones, I like to see the personnel on the Jazz records, like who played trumpet on this particular John Coltrane album, and what super nerdy stuff. Don't get into it. And then the other thing I like to do, because you mentioned TV, my wife and I, this time of year, once summer's over and it starts to get colder, it's raining outside right now here. One thing we like to do is we like to, you know, pick up on shows and start new shows. So we just finished up Abbott Elementary. A new season comes out in like a month. Just finally finished Marvelous Miss Maisel. We've been working on that for a few years, but we finally watched the last episode. So now we started Palm Royale, which is on
Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, so we're enjoying that. And then what adds to it is last night was the Emmys. So you get to see all the shows that are winning all these awards, and then you put those shows on your list. So we're going to start The Bear, which I've been trying to get my wife to start for like 2 years. And she goes,
I've watched season one.
Okay. What do you think?
I mean, it's really good. It's very intense. Like your heart's racing in some of these episodes.
But it's a comedy.
Nah, it's not really a comedy.
That's the thing. It was categorized as a comedy last night at the awards. And I don't know.
It is. I don't even know. It's not, I guess it's kind of a drama. I would just, if I was to give it an adjective for what it is, I would just say intense. Like it's just an intense. Okay. Sweaty and intense is what I would say.
Because they're
in a kitchen all day long, you know, they're chefs. So, but I heard season two is the best season. And so I ended season one. But then that was when my wife and my stepkids were in North Carolina and I was watching the dogs. And then when they came back, I haven't picked it up since. But yes, I'm on season two and I'm just waiting for that rainy day when I can just pop it on and get through a bunch of them.
Yeah, see, and that's what we do. So, but again, that's going to be after the Giants game, but sometimes during the Giants games because we don't have a lot of time. So am I going to watch a 9.5 game out of the playoffs team for 3 hours play against the Baltimore Orioles who are going to the playoffs? Or am I going to put the last three innings on the Score Watch app on my phone and watch an episode of some TV before I go to, cause I go to bed like 9:30, 10 o'clock. I'm an old man.
Sometimes I worry when I text a little bit later, but then I'm like, he's got his phone on silent. He's not seeing it in the morning. Yeah.
No.
So we're mostly in jest here because we know that the diehards of the diehards are going to watch the games, and we're keeping up with it too, especially because, and this is what we're hopeful of, is that they just play more of the young players. But, you know, if Melvin is saying that it looks like instructional league out there, then he may not want to play a lot of the younger players because he is, I guess, you know, it is beneficial to his success as a manager that they win, even if these games are semi-meaningless. But we kind of called what was going to happen. I read the list of second half outcomes for the Giants over the last, since the Farhan regime. And they had one season where they won a bunch of games, and they kind of finished with close to a 500 record because they just won a bunch in the end. And there are others where they are over 500 and they lose a bunch of games and they fall closer to, you know, 500 or even under 500. So we saw this malaise coming. It is not a surprise. The second that they got a few games, even more than a few games back, I figured that it was going to be almost double digits sooner than later, because, you know, at that time, when you're kind of out, a lot of the things that they do, which is, you know, overusing certain arms because they need to, they're going to pull back on that stuff because they don't want to hurt these guys. You know, you're managing so hard in the seventh and the eighth and the ninth, and when you're seven games out or when you're eight games out, you're like, I'm going to let this guy hit. Like, he needs the AB. So we figured that was coming. But what we didn't see coming, the other night, Andy Beggarly has a piece about the Matt Chapman contract. And this is where Haruku was already on fire almost 2 hours before we even started recording.
I mean, he might have blown up. I mean, we haven't heard from him since the show started. I think he just caught fire.
So very early in the piece, Beggarly wrote, according to sources, the Giants executive board led by Buster Posey became so frustrated by the lack of immediate progress between Zaidi and agent Scott Boris after talks began in August that the ownership group took action. Sources said Posey personally dealt with Chapman to hammer out the basic structure of the contract, which includes a full no trade provision, one of the sticking points that Zaidi had not included in the team's initial proposal. He would go on later to say that Farhan, because of Farhan's position, I don't think he could have circumvented Boris and gone straight to Chapman the way the rules work. So he would have had to work with Chapman or work with Boris. So based on the way Beggarly wrote it, it very much sounds like the executive board did not believe Farhan was an urgency in what he was doing, which is what happened in the beginning of this year. Now, that urgency paid off in some ways because the Giants were able to sign Chapman and Snell very late in the ballgame. Another way you could read that is that Posey assisted Farhan in being able to directly communicate with Chapman. The way that Beggarly wrote it, I'm not sure that I read it in that way, but that's how Farhan tried to explain it after, was that it was kind of a team effort. But it doesn't sound like that is a pat on the back to Farhan as much as it is like a, dude, you're lagging on this thing. We need to get this thing done. We need some good news for this franchise instead of, you know, being on the fringes with everything that they do. What was your take from that piece?
You know, at first I felt the same way. At first I thought, man, this doesn't look good for Farhan. He can't close the deal. Ownership had to step in. But then you kind of dive into a little bit more and you start to remember, look, we're dealing with Scott Boris. You're dealing with a player who wants to stay with the Giants. But you also have Scott Boras, super agent, in his ear saying, hey, look, this deal that they're throwing out to you, that's your floor for when you go to free agency. You take that number into free agency, and we take that and we give that to other teams. And all of a sudden, that number is ballooning. So when you're dealing with that, and you're head of baseball operations, and you are, you know, or a GM of a team, and you're trying to get a deal done, if you can't get, you know, again, for negotiation ethics sake, you can't go around the agent directly to the player. Now, ownership kind of has that caveat where they can go directly to the player and say, hey, look, we're paying you right now. We're the owners. We don't deal with your agent. If you want to stay here, here's the number. And here's the, you know, the bonuses and little extras we can do, like the no trade clause, which they, you know, Buster Posey had to throw in there and say, look, we're doing a no trade clause. That's what you want. So you can stick around. So ownership has that extra incentive to jump in there and say, look, we don't have to deal with your agent, man. We don't owe anything to Scott Boras. That's between Scott Boras and Farhan. That's their relationship. Farhan's got his, I almost said Rolodex. Who's got a Rolodex?
He might. No, actually, he's an analytics guy.
He's an analytics guy.
Maybe Brian Sabian still has a Rolodex.
There is a good possibility. So he's
Ned,
got
Ned Coletti. Do you think Ned Coletti has a Rolodex?
Yeah, Ned Coletti. 100%. So Farhan's got that. You know, he's got in his contacts. He has a. So he can't go around and just say, hey, I'm just going to deal with the player, because then now you run into all kinds of problems, right? Mm-hmm. But if ownership doesn't, it's not a problem, because Farhan could say, hey, man, ownership stepped in.
Yeah.
My hands were tied. Okay. Let's look at 10 other times ownership has come in and made a deal to close it out. Right. Mm-hmm. So back in 1976, George Steinbrenner at the time went to Reggie Jackson, $3 million a year. That's what Reggie wanted, $3 million a year. Think about that now. And so he gave it to Reggie. Reggie became Mr. October, written in stone. 2007, Hal Steinbrenner jumped in for the A-Rod deal to get that done. 2023, Hal Steinbrenner again, and we know this famously as Giants fans, jumped in at the midnight hour with Aaron Judge to get the deal done, because Judge went back to him directly, not to Cashman. He went to Steinbrenner and said, look, they're giving me this. I'm going here. And Steinbrenner said, oh, no. Let's get this deal done. You go to Mike Ilitch for the White Sox, 2005, got the deal done with Maglio Ordonez, my love-hate relationship in fantasy baseball. I used to pick that guy up and drop him like every other week. 2012, Prince Fielder coming from Milwaukee. He said, hey, let's get this deal done in Detroit. Let's be done. John Middleton, owner of the Philadelphia Phillies, jumped in, and the Phillies have a great, you know, in Amaro, they've got a fantastic GM, and Middleton jumped in 2019 to Bryce Harper, and he flew to Vegas to get the deal done. So that's an owner jumping in. Peter Angelos, 1998, the Albert Don't Call Me Joey Bell deal, to bring him to Baltimore. Steve Cohn famously does deals on his own, even though he's got a GM and a head of baseball ops. 2021, Lindor and Scherzer, and then Tom Ricketts in 2014, again, stealing John Lester from us. We didn't get the Rose at the last minute, but the Cubs gave John Lester the Rose. So those are just 10 examples of ownership jumping in because they needed to at the last minute. Because again, when you've got a relationship between GM and a head of baseball ops and an agent, you can't always go directly to the player because you've got to deal with it ethically. And again, owners don't need to. So I look at it as just kind of, hey, that's what needed to happen to get this deal done. I think Farhan probably knew it, and I'm not defending Farhan. Look, that could have been the nail in his coffin, because again, Baggerly in the article pretty much said if Buster Posey and ownership and Farhan aren't on the same page going forward with a lot of these deals, then they're going to make a change. Farhan's not going to be there anymore. But I think this, I'm going to look at this as a one-off type of thing. And again, we don't know. Did ownership jump in with Jung-Hoo Lee? Did ownership jump in with Snell? We don't know these things 100%, but maybe in the next, you know, coming week or so, things will start to come out. And especially if Farhan is fired, I think we're going to hear a lot more about kind of what went down. But as of right now, I'm just kind of, you know, I'm not too alarmed about this predicament.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
The one thing that makes me think is Buster Posey's a leader. He was a leader on the team. He was, from his rookie year, he was a leader on the team. He's a leader in the clubhouse. He's very opinionated on things about the baseball team. And he has been very vocal of late about how the Giants need to be in the mix on not only these players, but they need to be in the mix when it comes to winning divisions and all of that stuff. So that he's been vocal about that. Now, if it was an assist to Farhan, like Farhan's like, hey man, you know, we may need some help getting this thing done, and Buster pops in and talks to Chapman, there's respect there, great. If Farhan was given a directive like, this is something we want done now, and Farhan couldn't get it done, and Buster got frustrated and kind of just decided that he was going to go directly and make it happen, that's a little bit of a different thing. And that one, that second thing makes me worry about Farhan's future. But the third, now here's the third thing. I just said that Buster's a leader. Buster is in charge. He's just got that kind of persona about him. Who would be his chosen guy if he was the one? Like, I don't even, you know, who hires your baseball ops guy? You know, Greg Johnson. If Greg Johnson is like, hey, Buster, you have my ear. If we make this move, I need your sign off. Who is Buster looking at? Who's doing that research? Who's got the eyes on future GMs? Who's got the eyes on organizations that you want to model? That's the piece that I'm interested in learning more about. Is Buster that in the weeds where he's got an idea of who he wants to be the guy who's making the decisions? That's something that I hope somebody asks him the next time he gets interviewed, because if he's that in the weeds, then I'm not so sure that Farhan is that much in the future. And then you also have Bob Melvin tied to Farhan. They are close. Then is Melvin the guy, the right manager? Being that he's a former catcher, I would imagine he and Buster have had conversations, not saying that because they are both catchers that they have to be best buds, but that is kind of the model, I'm sure, of the mentality that Buster would like a manager to have, is somebody who is that in control. And, you know, Melvin might be old school, And he might have some, you know, grouchy old man comments, but at the same time, it does seem like he looks for that respect in, you know, from his team and from his young team. I mean, you know, the younger players are those who seemingly get the wrath of Bob Melvin there because of the mistakes that they're making. So I don't know that whole, yeah, I thought that was a fascinating thing and I can't wait. It's like almost like a really good TV show. I can't wait to see what happens next.
I think so my thought on that, and I like that. I like that. Cause I would like to know too, like, you know, how do you make the decision to hire Farhan? How do you make the decision to let Sabian go? Who is making those decisions? And you know, is there a committee? Is there a board? You know, how does that go? But if you're Buster Posey, I don't see, he's such a baseball guy, such a baseball mind. I don't see him buying a baseball team to make money. That's not what he's there for. He's there to win baseball games as an owner.
He wants his influence to be felt. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so the fact that he's there and the fact that he's in on negotiations with Chapman to get the deal done, everybody, I know a lot of people are screaming about it today, but I think that actually bodes well for the organization. I think that's what you want. Do you want Larry Bear in negotiations or do you want Buster Posey in baseball player negotiations? I want Buster Posey. That's who I want. I want a proven winner. I want a guy who knows what it takes on the inside of the clubhouse to win a championship. And I think, honestly, I think he also probably thinks that Bob Melvin is the guy. It's just a matter of getting him the players, getting him the firepower. Again, you know, that article that we talked about last week, Bob Melvin's just getting his feet under him with this roster. It doesn't mean that the first half is going to be ugly and then he gets his feet under him and learns everybody. In the second half, they blow up and they win, you know, 70% of their games. It just means that now he's seen the roster, and both Buster Posey and Bob Melvin and Farhan, actually all three of them, have alluded to the fact that we know what this roster needs now next year. We've evaluated and we know, but we can't say it because we don't want it to be a detriment to some of the players that are still here. So they know what moves they're going to make. They know what changes they need to make, what positions they need to make changes at. So I do have some faith going forward. And I do think, I mean, Buster Posey's an owner. Does he sell part of the ownership down the line and become head of baseball ops? Are you sure? Why not? I mean,
that's an interesting thing, right? Because the models that the Giants use, I don't imagine Buster Posey is interested in like having to figure out and, you know, go by these models. Like he seems to be a little bit more interested.
Close deals. Yeah.
Yeah. I know what we need, you know, I'll use my influence and I'll help.
Sure.
But here's what you basically said. The interesting side of that is maybe Farhan is the right personality and the right temperament. He is not this giant personality, right? He's not this in your face, I'm the best GM. He's kind of quiet. But maybe if Buster wants to be the face of the organization and he wants to be the influence or the mentality or he wants the rhythm of the team and the culture to kind of fit who he was, that is kind of a big shadow that a lot of ops people probably would not be okay with. Like I'm thinking of like the top ops folks in the game, the guy that runs the Dodgers, I forget his name, but guys like that, maybe they'd have a problem with being in this Buster shadow if that is where we are going. Because if you tell me in 2025 Buster's going to have a bigger role in the organization, I'm like, great, I'm in.
Yeah,
I will give you one warning signal though. Derek Jeter. Now, Derek Jeter, he did not have a role in the Yankees organization.
Right.
But he did have a role with the Marlins. I think he was also a part owner of the Marlins. And he did not like it. He got out of there pretty quickly, and now you see him on TV. I still don't know if it fits his personality best, but it is better than, you know, what he was as kind of a, you know, being in the ownership group.
Yeah.
If Buster feels like this is his spot, then yeah, let's make him a bigger part of it. Let's make him the face. Let's have him kind of help us sell these tickets, you know, have him give the plus ones to some of these players. And yeah, you know, the reason why we signed Chapman is because he reminds me of the kind of mentality that we had in 2014, you know, those kind of things, because they do need to sell tickets. And the one thing the Giants are very good at is reminiscing about the past. Can you tie a little bit of that with your current crew? Can Jung-Hoo Lee have some photo ops where, you know, he and Buster are hanging out and talking hitting? You know, can you have Patrick Bailey and Buster Posey in conversations talking about how to control a pitching staff? Like, I think all of those things are positive. Not that Buster has to just be like a poster for the team, like a marketing gimmick. I would just like him to be more involved, just like whenever Barry is at training camp or spring training and he's talking hitting. You're like, if someone's going to teach me hitting, it might as well be the best guy, you know, who's done it in our organization. So those kind of things I think are pretty important. And that's why I don't mind seeing Buster throwing his weight around a little bit.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I mean, he is kind of a laid back dude, not laid back dude, but he doesn't like to be in the spotlight so much since retirement. So this type of stuff, I don't know if it's going to turn him off and say, man, don't go reporting on this type of stuff, or if he's going to step up and say, hey, look, it worked. You know, the influence worked, and ownership's going to push him a little bit more and say, hey, you're our guy, man. So it'd be interesting to see going forward.
I just wanted to repeat some of these Haruku lines because they did make me laugh. Yeah. He has changed Matt Chapman's name to Crapman. That's how much he dislikes Chapman. He said, Posey takes charge and overpays Crapman by $30 million with no trade clause. The best offer he got last year was 20 per. This organization sucks. Posey doesn't have a bat. F him and fart Han. And then LOL in Crapman's 6 years, how many times will he hit over 250 and get 80 RBI? I say zero. So you're not going to be able to impress Haruka here unless you win.
No.
And I wrap
out. You're going to have to trade for Aaron Judge and probably Harmon Killebrew. And then if you do that, then he'll be very happy.
Rap Album Depot, who is also in the chat, is not a fan of Farhan, and he also believes that the Giants made a mistake in trading Jorge Soler. He believes that that was kind of a waving of the white flag before it was necessary, where, you know, you think money over winning in a sense. And I understand that sentiment. The problem is that Soler just wasn't hitting. That was the problem. He just was struggling. Right.
Well, his OPS since going over to Atlanta is almost virtually the same as it was in San Francisco. So, I mean, they're not a huge difference. But you got to look at it, too. I mean, if you think like, hey, we signed Soler, we thought he was going to love it here in San Francisco, there had to be more going on. It had to be a fact that, you know, not a cold weather hitter, didn't enjoy the big left field and trying to get the ball out in left field.
And they were not going to play have him play defense in that park.
No,
when he got traded, he did play defense. I don't know if he's still playing defense, but he was playing defense in Atlanta, and he was not loving life. He was struggling.
And you have to look too and say, well, if we get rid of Soler and we're not fighting for a playoff spot at this point, I mean, you know, they kind of were. They were on the fringe, but they were trying to make some deals to free up and get some of the young guys more at bats. When you look at that and you say, look, if we get rid of that salary, the next year we've got Willy Adames, we've got Juan Soto out there, we've got Christian Walker out there, we've got Gerrit Cole out there. It frees up money for that type of, you know, those types of moves. Now you got Chapman, Jung-Hoo Lee coming back. I mean, again, you're going to want to replace Lamont Wade Jr. first base, right? You're going to need a shortstop. You're probably going to need a right fielder. So there's a lot of holes to fill, and now you're not going to have Snell back. You may have Robbie Ray back, but there's a lot of holes that need to be filled next year. And then you look at the price for Soler, and easy way to get out of the deal. And so you get out of the deal and you can kind of redo.
There had to have been something also about him, probably, his value is in helping a team contend with his bat as a DH. And maybe it was a little bit of waving the white flag, like Rap Album Depot said, in the sense of, and we said it at the time when they traded Alex Cobb too. We're like, are they really trying to win these games, or are they trying to do some addition by subtraction kind of stuff? It was uncertain. But yeah, to Rap Album Depot's point, it was clearly about money. They went into the tax this year. They did not get, a 600 winning percentage baseball. And so they were like, okay, how do we cut some of these losses and hopefully, not lose much in doing so? And they decided that that was going to be Soler. So yeah, I would have liked Farhan to stick to a plan. It was almost like, you make a decision and like, oh, it wasn't a great one. We got an out on this. And they did. It was all about getting rid of that money. They didn't really get anybody back. So it was essentially like, here, Atlanta, take him and you can take his contract too. And the Braves, we'll see what happens with the Braves in 3 years when that contract is over, if they decide that that's a good one or that was a good trade or not a good trade.
And that's the thing, though. They had to sign a right-handed power hitter. It wasn't going to be Mitch Haniger. I mean, they had to trade Mitch Haniger, and they opened up a spot. You had to sign a right-handed power bat, and there weren't many other ones at that point. So, getting a right-handed power bat and being able to then offload him and say, hey, let's start over again next year. Let's kind of look to see what else we can find. I'm totally fine with that. I don't have a problem with it. You're not tied to Jorge Soler. Because again, let's just add the numbers together. Jorge Soler right now, you're paying him that kind of money, and he'd have 18 home runs and 57 RBI right now and like a 775 OPS. Is that what you want to try to start again with next year as a right-handed DH? Or would you rather go after, and again, people are going to go, well, we're not going to get him, but you go after Juan Soto. Yeah, I know he's not going to leave New York. He's going to stay with the Yankees, but let's just say hypothetically, you get Juan Soto, you stick him in the outfield. Now you got Ramos. Let's say you got Soto, McCray, and Jung-Hoo Lee in the outfield. And now you have a right-handed DH in Ramos, who we just saw freaking go opposite field, splash hit,
yep,
home run. That's who you want to start the season with next year, and he doesn't cost you very much because he's still on his arbitration pre-arb deals, as a matter of fact.
So yeah. All right, so we're going to veer towards the younger side of the Giants minor league system. Their top prospect, 19-year-old Bryce Eldridge, has already made the jump to AAA. And one thing that the Giants have done of late is that they are not afraid to move certain guys through the different organizations, as they were when, how we learned it was like, oh, yeah, you go from A-ball, you have your half a season there, then you go to AA, play a season there, then you go to AAA, and AAA is kind of like where you are until you go to the big club. The Giants consider their AA team is kind of the best of the leagues because that's where all of the top prospects are going to be. Though they will have guys go into AAA to see some more veteran arms. But nowadays they have really jumped certain guys through the different organizations, in some cases all the way to the major leagues. Wade Meckler, who we haven't seen all year long. Right. Grant McCray as well. And they are not afraid to push certain guys through to experiment with how they're doing. And Bryce Eldridge started in high A at Eugene. Then he went to double A and he mashed. And they were like, hey, the double A season's just about over. Let's send him to triple A. There's a week left. Let's keep giving him ABs. And then he'll do what he's going to do in the fall and probably start in triple A as a 20-year-old kid in 2025. And the thing that worries me, do you remember Damon Minor?
Oh, very well, because I was doing play-by-play in San Jose during his heyday when he was hitting 30-something home runs in the Cal.
Yeah. So the reason why I bring him up is just because of the height thing. I imagine that as good of a prospect as Damon Minor was back then, like he's nowhere near the prospect that Bryce Eldridge is today.
Right.
But basically what I'm saying is, Damon Minor tore through all of the organizations as well. And then when he got to the big league level, he could not hit at that level. Not that we need to press the brakes on Bryce. If they feel like as a 20-year-old, he's going to compete at AAA, that's great. There is just going to be an impetus to get him to that next level, which is the big leagues, sooner than later if he is in AAA. That is the only warning sign there is the faster he moves through, the pressure from the fans, the pressure from the person who drafted him to get him to the to show like, hey, showing my work, here's my work. He's up. He's a big leaguer. Look, I drafted him, that kind of thing. I just hope that they make all of those decisions in his best interest, because what you want to see, and this is where, you know, we were talking about free agents, Pete Alonso, Christian Walker, these guys mash. Will they mash at Oracle like they mashed other parks? Probably not, but still,
right. Just
having those guys in the lineup and what they could possibly do is very worthy of it's important. You need a lineup where there's the threat of a home run. But if you believe that Bryce Eldridge is going to be up in 2025, do you pay Pete Alonso $250 million? Probably not, right?
Right.
Because if Bryce Eldridge is a first baseman, are you going to pay $250 million to a DH not named Shohei? But I don't know. Maybe they would, but that seems kind of interesting. So that also changes the trajectory of what they may be looking for in free agency if they believe that Eldridge is going to make the squad, because you don't want to give a long-term deal to somebody who would block him like that. He's the future. Right. They want him to be the guy, not someone they're paying $30 million a year to be the guy.
But flip side, Farhan is now fighting for his job.
Mm-hmm.
So is he going to say, we need a Christian Walker, we need a Pete Alonso, we need somebody at first base today, you know? And then we know Farhan can get out of deals. We've seen Farhan move players, get out of deals. So if he can, let's say, hey, Pete Alonso, we're going to give you, you know, 3-year deal, opt out after one every year. Opt out after every year. Let's go, you know, $30 million a year, $35 million a year for 3 years. You can opt out after the first year. We got this kid who's coming up, but you're going to get the bank right now. And then you can opt out after a year and you could go again. And maybe you get $40 million from somebody else next year. Because when you look at, especially left-handed hitters, if a guy like Juan Soto, I mean, you could entice him by just showing him Barry Bonds videos, right? I mean, you could just show him Barry. You got to get out the VHS tapes, but you show the Barry Bonds home runs into the bay as a left-handed hitter, and then you could get a guy like Juan Soto to be like, I think I could do some damage there. But then he's got the short porch in Yankee Stadium. He's got Aaron Judge. He's got a playoff team.
But we had much more faith in Juan Soto coming here early last year than we do now, because when
we did,
before he was with the Yankees, when he was in San Diego, yeah. we were like, you know what? He may want out of there. And then he went to New York and we're like, I don't know if he wants out of there, but
no, the way they're going nuts now, he's just, you know, that's kind of a mainstay. But yeah, because again, if Farhan doesn't get one of those guys to play first base next year, then do you go another year of Lamont Wade Jr. at first base? Because I don't think Bryce Eldridge fights for a starting spot in the majors next season. He was just promoted to AAA. He's going to get what, like 7 games, 8 games? Because the season ends, I think, next week.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it. So you're going to get like 8, maybe 9 games tops at AAA. I think the Giants are going to want to see.
How would you rank positionally your free agent want list? Would it be shortstop first?
That's a tough one. That's a really tough one. I would say, honestly, I'm kind of salivating for a power hitting first baseman.
Okay.
And again, like we just talked about, yeah, can you lock somebody up and then you have Bryce Eldridge? People aren't going to want to hear this, but now the Giants are also building up the farm system to be able to trade these players. I mean, you've watched the Dodgers do it for years. They trade away guys to get Trey Turner and Max Scherzer. They trade away guys to get the players that they want. And I think the Giants are finally starting to get that firepower. Maybe Bryce Eldridge never wears a Giants jersey. Maybe mm-hmm. he gets shipped off and you get a first baseman who's going to be there for a very long time, Ryan Mountcastle from Baltimore. I mean, who knows? Because Baltimore, they're going to have to pay all these guys at some point. I don't know if they're going to be able to, honestly. They got Jackson Holliday. I mean, they got a bevy of guys that they're going to have to pay in the next year or so. So I for me personally, I put first base first, and then I go shortstop, and then I go outfield, because I think you can survive off of McCray, Jung-Hoo Lee, and Elliot Ramos. I think you can survive off of those three players for a full season. I would like to short the infield.
I looked at the available first baseman.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the list, and it's an older list, though Pete Alonso is a little bit younger than I even realized. Paul Goldschmidt, 37 years old, currently makes $26 million.
Don't want him.
Pete Alonso, almost 30, makes $20 million right now. He's going to break the bank, I think, this year.
Oh, for sure.
Anthony Rizzo, 35 years old, he makes 20. Josh Bell, 32 years old, he makes 16.5. Christian Walker, 33 years old, he makes 10.9. Oh, Wilmer, you're only 33? I thought I would have added 10 to that number. Wilmer's 33. He makes 5.5, and he's got the player. He's got the player exception here. Carlos Santana, 38 years old.
Jeez.
$5 million.
Is he still in Pittsburgh?
Minnesota.
No, he that's right. He got traded at the trade deadline.
Joey Gallo, 30 years old. He makes $5 million. He'll be unrestricted. Ryan O'Hearn, who I kind of looked at, but Baltimore has a club option on him of 7.5. And then Rowdy Tellez, who's only 30. I would have guessed a little bit older than that too. And then Ulieski Gurriel is 40. I was like, wow, 40 years old, still hanging in there. He makes $1 million. So, you know, Pete Alonso above and beyond kind of stands out as that guy. But if there is somebody out there who maybe you're looking at for like a 3-year deal because you believe that Bryce Eldridge is available, like would you go after Josh Bell on like a 2 or 3 year deal? I don't know. It's kind of interesting the way they're going to do it.
Josh Bell. And who was the one you named before Josh Bell?
Rizzo, Josh Bell, Christian Walker.
Yeah. Rizzo and Josh Bell are the most Farhan signs that we could possibly get this offseason. You know, if he concentrates on different areas, And then he's like, hey, Rizzo's out there. And, you know, Rizzo, we can give you a 1 year deal to keep things going. But like
Yankee fans right now, probably be like, take him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Ryan Mountcastle is in Baltimore and he's their DH, but he also plays first base. He's got 2 years of arbitration. He's 27. He's making $4 million this year. He's got some really good numbers, arbitration the next 2 years. That's a guy you can target in a trade. You know, so there's probably guys like that out there that you can get in a trade, but I don't know, man. It's going to be a really interesting offseason. It's just another one of those offseasons I weirdly look forward to because the team didn't do what it was supposed to do and things are getting desperate. So sometimes when things get desperate, you do make moves to get high ticketed, high priced talent to put people in seats and to win ball games. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens this offseason.
All right. Let's talk about our player of the week and then we'll get out of here.
Yeah. Player of the week. And we're not talking like, you know, massive, fantastic performance. Elliot Ramos hit his first home run in 3 weeks, but he is our player of the week because he made history. The first right-handed batter to put one in the water in right field, into McCovey Cove on the fly. So that is our player of the week. That is exciting. There are not a lot of things that happen exciting in Giants baseball lately. So if you do something like that, you're going to be player of the week automatically. Don't even have to think about it. Because when you texted me today and said, who's our player of the week? I was like, oh, let me go look at the numbers. And then I thought, and I go, I don't care if somebody hit 3 home runs last week and hit 400. That is a feat, and that gets you player of the week right there.
Yes, I like that call. I was hoping that was going to be the call. I mean, I don't know who else it could have been. It wasn't going to be someone offensively, because I guess it could have been Snell again, because he did get the win that they had during the week.
It could have been Roop. I mean, Roop had a good outing. I mean, you know, there's little performances here and there that were really nice, but I mean, nothing like that. I've probably watched that replay, and even the one in Spanish too. It was fantastic. I've watched that replay probably like 5 or 6 times today.
Did you see the? You know what? One of the reasons to continue watching the games, and you and I have had a conversation privately about this, is Kruko and Kuiper, because you never know, you know, health wise they both have had their situations, they're both getting a little up there.
Yep.
But that is a reason to not miss games, is to just listen to those guys talk. But there was a I think they put this on Twitter recently, but there's a video of Ramos watching the big screen of his home run.
That's great.
And Kruko's like saying like what is Ramos thinking, and Kruko's like, I am the man, and he's like thinking like this is what Ramos is thinking, like in a very Mike Kruko way. It was awesome. It's so much fun.
That's so awesome. That was a great shot, just the camera in the dugout, right behind Ramos staring at the screen and watching it, because I don't even think he knew that he quite did that.
Nobody knew. Like the announcers on the call, they didn't know it either, because you couldn't tell if it hit in the arcade and then bounced over. You couldn't see the shot that they had. So that was awesome.
Yeah. I just got an email. We're talking about the final week. There are 6 games left, 6 home games left for the Reno Aces. So that's a AAA baseball right there. Winding down, man. I can't believe AAA baseball is almost over. I've only gone to 2 games this year.
I will say, obviously, if the Giants were in the playoffs, it's a different story about how closely I'm following everything. But
yeah,
the way that they've done the wild card and the divisions and everything the last couple of years, it does make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's more exciting. It's just more, there's more of a variable of what happens. You kind of are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe the Arizona Diamondbacks are like in the, you know, in the World Series, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you gotta be on your toes a little bit. And we'll you know, we'll have all that. We'll talk about all the teams once we get there. But next week will mean, I think we would only have, as of next week, we'll only have like a week and some change left in the season. So
yeah, 12 games left. So if the Giants finish, they have to finish 9-3 to get to 500. Better to be 500 or higher. So 9-3, can they do it?
Tank for the draft. Yeah. That's what the NBA teams do.
The lottery draft pick. Yeah.
Get another Bryce Eldridge while you're
there
at
you
it.
There you go. Too. Yeah.
All right. We'll be back next week. So for Brad, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets. Guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.